I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. I certainly did. I don't know about you, but I was really needing a moment of restoration, really needing a breath, a time to eat some good food, a time away from books and election coverage and talk. And I'm really thankful this morning and grateful that we're moving into Advent and we're moving into a theme of hope, which we need so much right now. And I was also thankful when I realized in my study this week, thinking about this story, that the book of Daniel is all about hope. And so I was really uplifted, and so I hope I can share some of that with you today in this sermon. So to begin with, the book of Daniel, like many other books in the Old Testament, is a book of great sophistication, of great parallels and literary structures, but it's a book with a simple theme. Not simple in that it's easy to follow or easy to really comprehend, but simple in that it comes across this again and again and again. It is unmistakable in the story. And I hope to survey a little bit of the book of Daniel for you now, and then maybe we'll get to the theme, the core theme. So the setting of the book of Daniel is that the people of Israel have been overtaken. They have lost. They have lost their temple. They have lost their nation. They have lost their people. They have lost their way. They are in exile in Babylon, in a foreign land. Everything we know about Israel is that they were fiercely nationalistic. Israel cared deeply for the temple, deeply for the land, deeply for the place. The idea that they would be overtaken, that they would lose their promised land, that they would lose the temple is a big deal. For Israel, it wasn't that you could just take the temple and rebuild it someplace else. They were in exile. They were having a problem. And so the book of Daniel focuses really on four characters. Daniel, of the royal house of David, and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All four of these are lifted up as characters who are exceedingly faithful, exceedingly unrelenting. And the book begins with something that isn't quite explained, a notion that Israel continuing to be Israel in the land of Babylon was unacceptable. For some reason, the fact that they were continuing to pray to their God, the fact that they were continuing to have allegiances outside the accepted power structures of Babylon was a problem. On its face, I have trouble with that because I wonder, what does it matter if they were eating their own food or not eating pork or following a different law? But really, in humanity, there's a really, really important pull towards conformity. All you have to do is visit a high school cafeteria to see that. We tend to cast out those who don't fit in, those who aren't adhering to traditional power structures, who seem to be the squeaky wheel. Well, in Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we have four big squeaky wheels. We have four really irritating sore thumbs for Babylon. And so we have a tension right off the bat between faithfulness and conformity to the ways of man. And throughout the whole book of Daniel, that's the tension. That's the tension. That's the core. Now, how we negotiate that, how the faithful ones negotiate, and how God negotiates that with them is where we get the real message of Daniel. Now, in the core of Daniel, we have three major sections of chapters. We have that consist each of one chapter, or two chapters. So we have three sets of doublets. We have four with five, we have three with six, we have two with seven, and they all work together well. So I kind of want to explain that structure to you a little bit right now. So starting with chapters 4 and 5, we have two stories about two kings, King Nebuchadnezzar and his son, King Balthazar. I remember the name, but I'm having a hard time pronouncing it. Balthazar, I think it is. Anyway, the kings are given a direct warning from God that if you don't become faithful to God, you will face destruction. If you don't reorient your life to faithfulness, you will be destroyed. King Nebuchadnezzar doesn't listen when he's told this, and he becomes a madman in the wilderness. He becomes a beast, almost. And he repents, and he becomes restored fully to being a dignified king. And so we have an example of what happens when we repent and when we turn towards God. His son, King Balthasar, doesn't. He is prideful, he's arrogant, he refuses. And that very night, he is killed. And so we have an illustration of the fact that faithfulness is a matter of life and death. In being faithful, you find life. In not, you find death and destruction of your own doing. And so that's the first set. The second set comes with our friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. Shadrach, these two stories are almost exactly the same. In chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are asked, or basically told, you must stop worshiping your God. You have to reorient yourselves to the way of Babylon. You must worship the kings. They refuse. They are then thrown into a fiery furnace, and they survive. The people of Babylon then say, oh my goodness, your God is so great, everyone must worship your God, but it doesn't last. And then we come to Daniel in the lion's den, and we get the exact same thing. King Darius replaces King Balthasar. They cast out, they create a law that forbids Daniel from worshiping his God. He knowingly breaks it without even much of a consideration. He keeps doing what he's always done, and he's thrown into a lion's den. He survives. The king says, oh, your God is the truth. Let's worship your God. But it doesn't last. The kings go back to their own ways, as they always seem to do, as Pharaoh did in the Exodus. It's a common theme. Stopping right there, I just want to say, we can notice a couple things about the choices that Daniel, but particularly Daniel, is forced to make. On its face, Daniel is forced between making a choice between faithfulness and life. He must choose, do I remain faithful and then die because I'm going to be thrown into a pit of lion dens, a pit of lions, and I'm going to be eaten? Or am I going to be, not be faithful and then find my life and not go into the lion's den? The book of Daniel, as we see from the story of the two kings that I shared with you, turns that choice on its end, reverses it. Instead of being able to find life in rejecting faith, all you find in rejecting faith is more death. So we think, if Daniel had just simply gone along the gone along with the kings, he wouldn't have been thrown into a lion's den. It would have been safer for him. It would have been better. But we see earlier with the kings that when you reject God, you find destruction ultimately. So in these two units, we find that really life is about faith. Life isn't about preserving your continued existence and avoiding the teeth of lions. Life is about putting faith first. In short, we have to be willing to give our physical lives for faith. Faith overwhelmingly first. And God will be there. That's the problem. That's the good part. The good part is you won't have to give up your life. God will be there. In the book of Daniel, we see that whenever man turns away from faithfulness, man becomes like a beast. Man becomes less than human. Man loses sight of who man is. So I told you there's three sets, and so the third set comes with a set of dreams. In the first dream, a king dreams, and Daniel interprets the dream just like Joseph interpreted dreams. And we find out that God will make everything right. The king dreams of a big statue that represents Babylon, that represents all these kingdoms, and it's toppled down, so indicating that God will have the ultimate victory. In the second dream, Daniel has a dream, and he needs it interpreted for him. An angel comes and interprets it for him. And the angel tells Daniel, the Ancient of Days, God, will have the last word. Restoration of all things will happen. God will be victorious. The beasts will not have the last say. But there's a caveat. The caveat is in the next couple chapters we find out that Daniel wants to know when. It's important to know when, right? I mean, you know, we want this restoration of all days, but I want, you know, the time is important. Well, Israel's been in Babylon for about 68 years. Initially, Daniel thought that they're only supposed to be in captivity for 70. And so he asked the angel, hey, 70 years, 68, when's the restoration coming? And the angel says, no. Israel has continued to sin. Not 70 years, 70 times 7 years, 490 years. So Daniel realizes this ultimate restoration isn't going to happen in his lifetime. And so in the book of Daniel, we have both an immediate interaction from God that should give us hope, that when we act in faithfulness, we will be rescued from the teeth of lions. In this very extreme example, we will find life. But we also have this ultimate overarching promise that in the end of days, God will have the last word. We will all be restored, that the Ancient of Days is on our side. And what that all comes together to say is the book of Daniel is about hope through faithfulness. We get hope when we are faithful. When we are not faithful, we become beasts and we find destruction. That's the book of Daniel in a nutshell, and that's what we have happening in the lion's den. Now, I could have stopped there. My initial thought in thinking about this sermon was that it would be enough just to get to that core, point out that message, and leave it at that. But then I kept thinking, and I had a nagging thought that kept crossing my mind, and so I have to share with you now, which is that I kept wondering, who are we in the story? And by we, I mean North Prospect Union, I mean Christians in America, I mean any person on the planet who follows the Jesus way. Who are we in the story? My first thought was that, of course, we should be Daniel. We should be Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're the ones who are upholding faithfulness. They're the ones who we want to be. We don't want to be the kings. We don't want to be Nebuchadnezzar. We don't want to be wild in the desert. We want to be the faithful ones. But as I thought about it, I couldn't reconcile it. I couldn't make that fit. Because Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in a minority nation. They were a small group facing insurmountable odds. They were a nation displaced. The Christian nation today has over 1 billion people. The Christian nation today has had perhaps more impact and say in forming culture than any other religion has ever had an opportunity to in the world. There has never been a religion with as many people as Christianity. And yet, I kept wondering, have we shaped the culture, or has the culture shaped us? Have we resisted Babylon? Or have we made concession after concession after concession after concession to the point that there's no meaningful difference between us and Babylon? The most dangerous thing, right? And it made me realize that the boundary between being a resistor, fighting for faithfulness, and being part of Babylon is a permeable, slippery line. It's difficult. And I was wrestling with it, and I looked back to the story of Daniel and the lion's den for inspiration, saying, how did they do it? What was the core that allowed Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to resist, to maintain faithfulness? And I got stuck on what it means to resist conformity. I got to thinking about specificity, clarity versus abstraction and obscurity. I began to realize that part of what made the decision so easy for Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was that they knew what they were supposed to do. There was no confusion for Daniel. He was to pray 3 times a day to the east to his God. He was not to eat pork. He had a whole list of things that very clearly, this is what made him Jewish. This is what made his identity what it was. This is what it was to worship God. And sometimes I don't think we have that. Sometimes I think we get wrapped in abstractions like love your neighbor. And we forget then to tie it to specific sets of actions, things we do and we will do relentlessly in the face of any obstacle. Because in order to resist, you must first know what you're resisting against. You must first know what you stand for. And so sometimes it isn't enough to leave it at love your neighbor. I mean, I know many good, loving people across this country who have sent gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender individuals to conversion therapy under the mantra of loving your neighbor. They were loving them as they should be loved. They were doing what needed to be done. It's too abstract. It can be corrupted. If Daniel had made a concession to King Darius, what would it have looked like? When would he have stopped the line? If he said, oh, well, you know, it's okay. You know what? I guess it's not a big deal. I'm going to love you. I'm going to respect you the way you feel. I'm going to pray two times a day as opposed to three. Makes that concession, okay? All right, goes on a little further in the next part of the week. Something else comes up. Oh, well, you made a concession here. You can make another one, another one, another one, another one. It never ends. After a while, Daniel becomes totally indistinguishable from Babylon. So friends, the book of Daniel is telling us that faith has to come first. It has to come first, patiently, relentlessly, indomitably, and then we get hope. And so when we have to be ready for when our faith will come up against a law, right? Some part of Babylon, some part of the kingdom, trying to force us to compromise, trying to say, don't love your neighbor, don't love your enemy. We have to be ready to draw a line in the sand now, to know what our actions are now, to know what Jesus told us to do now, so that when the moment comes when we are forced with the decision, either faithfulness or the lion's den, or faithfulness to the lion's den, that we're ready to go, that we're ready to act on faith. I think that's the key of how Daniel is relevant to us today. So take hope from this, friends, that when we are faithful, God is with us. The Ancient of Days is with us. But be patient and be clear. This is who we are. And God will serve us well. And we will serve God. Amen.